Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News.
High above the milk packing district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Dawn Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Police search for a man dubbed the Where's Waldo Bandit. Despite efforts, Don't Ask, Don't Tell is still in effect. And Depot Bay tests a robot lifeguard.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when this hour began. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon. I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Wednesday, September 22nd, 2010. A bank holdup involving a bomb threat led to evacuations, road closures, and delays near Bridgeport Village yesterday. A bomb squad was called to the Key Bank on Southwest Hazelfern Road around 1:30 p.m. Tualatin detectives said the suspect walked over to a table carrying a small box. The man demanded cash, then threatened that he had an explosive device, and walked out. No other customers were in the bank at the time, and the police later determined the box contained no explosives. The suspect is described as being a white man, 5'8", average build. He has thick, short, dark hair and heavy black frame prescription glasses. He was wearing a loose sweater with alternating cream and brown stripes, so detectives have dubbed him the Where's Waldo Bandit.
I think that Where's Waldo actually wears a red sweater with white stripes, or perhaps a white sweater with... He doesn't wear anything...
And he wears that little cap.
Yeah, there's nothing beige on Waldo.
No.
Am I wrong about that?
No. Well, yeah, no. No, this is... He was wearing a striped sweater, and he had thick glasses.
Okay.
So,
all right.
No stores in Bridgeport Village.
So he could have been the Rivers Cuomo bandit.
Exactly.
All right.
Which would have been a little more obscure, but appropriate for Portland, I think.
I'm just saying, from now on, he's the Weezer bandit to us, in case anybody should ask. We're going to start that meme right now. The Weezer bandit has struck again.
Weezer bandit. I'm making a note of that so we remember to call him
Committing ironic crimes all over our fair city.
The evacuations and road closures were lifted around 3 p.m. The Depot Bay Fire Department plans to test Friday a robotic lifeguard in the surf near Glen Eden Beach State Park. The department says the robot, known as Emily, is a remote-controlled flotation device powered by an electric motor. It's equipped with a speaker so the operator on the beach can give instructions to the person being rescued. The department says Emily...
Don't go out in the riptide!
Please grab me and hold on as I take you to shore.
Obey the goddamn signs!
Oh, this is not the robot that speaks. This is the... Is it the lifeguard or is it the robot that speaks through the lifeguard?
The lifeguard speaks through the robot.
So it's like... So not like the robot has pre-programmed messages.
No.
Sort of, to avoid drowning, please cling tenaciously.
That would be great.
All right. But it's the lifeguard who just shouts something through a speaker.
Right.
And like, you know, the song says no swimming. Jesus. Grab on. Christ.
All right.
Stop thrashing.
Quit whining like a baby, or I won't rescue you at all.
The department says Emily was developed for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and the Navy and has been used in the surf in Malibu, California. You know, one of my very first jobs ever, I lasted about 2 weeks at it. I worked at a Jack in the Box, and this was when, this was post actual clown, but they still had a picture of the clown on the drive-thru speaker.
This is between the clown and Jack.
Yeah. And I remember when I finally got the opportunity to work the drive-thru, you know, window, And it was very late at night. And this was in a Southern California beach community. So we had, you know, we had basically the demographic that Taco Bell is now aiming
stoners.
For. Stoners.
Yeah.
The late night stoners. And I remember, and you had the thing where there was the mirror, and you could see the people
right.
in the mirror. And so I remember I took an order from these guys who were obviously very, very baked. And they said what I wanted, and I repeated back to him. And I said, you know, that's, you know, two cheeseburgers, fries, whatever. And it's like, is that correct? Yeah, that sounds right. I said, now touch the clown's nose. And there was this pause. And the guy goes, what? And I said, now touch the clown's nose. And I saw the guy, and they looked at each other. The guy reached out and touched the clown's nose. I said, thank you, drive on through. You know, and that was one of the best moments of working at Jack in the Box.
Just because you can manipulate stoners and retards into
yeah.
touching the nose of the clown. Because there was no reason to, right? That was
no.
just a thing you were doing to screw with them.
Right.
God bless you.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
I didn't last at that job very long.
No, but I mean.
Unsurprisingly.
I like the idea that they were just sort of sitting there weighing in their sort of enfeebled minds. Like, I don't know, the godlike voice from the box says that if we want our food, we got to touch the clown's nose. I don't know, dude. It just seems wrong. Why are you going to follow the orders given to you by some amorphous deity? Well, I don't know. I'm hungry. Okay. And then they just, you know, and then bracing themselves as they reach out. Did they touch the nose firmly or gingerly?
Kind of gingerly. Just reached out and he touched it. And then as soon as he touched it, I said, thank you. Please drive through the window.
That's awesome. Yeah. If you can't make your workplace, some sort of bastion of enjoyment in your life, I mean, really, then what do you have the job for?
And I think that's why I've had so many jobs.
Yeah.
Because I always tried to make them a place of enjoyment. And oddly enough, most employers don't want you to do that.
No, you know, here's a lost art, by the way, because everybody works with some variation on the that's what she said guy. You know, everybody has worked with that guy or his cousin at some point. And so he sort of ruined a lot of office fun because that guy just engaged in a lot of jackassery. His humor is never amusing. But as a result of that guy, people no longer feel free to engage in humor involving the office intercom system. And that's really a lost art.
Oh, yeah.
Is you sort of making the all office page or the inter-office address over the system, but then saying something just a little bit like ending all of your statements with like, you know, in accordance with prophecy. And then just hanging up, like, the phone really quickly. That's something that needs to come back. That's an art that needs to be reprised.
Intelligent horseplay. I think
yes.
we need more of that in the workplace.
That's right. Sort of intellectual grab-ass is what you're playing there.
A defense bill that includes, speaking of grab-ass, a defense bill that includes the repeal of the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy faltered in the Senate Tuesday.
Wow.
White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs said the president has not given up on this issue.
Ah, he's given up. That's how you know, is because they're saying, no, we haven't given up, which is the subtitle. This is like the speaking jive in Airplane. We haven't given up, and we have totally given up. We are absolutely giving up as of now.
It is obviously our hope that we can get the defense bill done. The president, obviously, as you know, supports the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
All right.
You know, it's...
I
almost wish that the press secretary would just come out at some point and say, look...
Not going to happen.
He's got wars that were delivered to him on a silver platter when he got elected. He has Republicans talking smack about him. We've got the worst economy since the Great Depression. And honestly, yes, he cares about your little who's gay, who's not thing. But he's got other stuff on his plate right now. You know, and it's... I honestly think that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is a shame and it's horrible. But I kind of, you know, it's sort of this thing really is one of these ridiculous political footballs at the moment where the Democrats are just sort of pulling it out to kind of, well, never mind. I'll stop talking now. You're giving me that look like, stop talking.
Okay, no, just for the record, I was giving you no look just now. Now, sometimes it's true when you say that. Sometimes I'm giving you a look or I'm arching an eyebrow or I'm looking askance. That was not the case just now.
Oh.
I was adjusting the plug down here because it's...
Oh, you were looking askance at the plug.
No, I've got this, occasionally we'll be we're doing the show and then the teletype sound or the whatever will just sort of cease for a while. And there's a short in one of the cables here that I've been trying to identify for some time. Because there's like in the studio, there's 700 places where audio from one thing like leaves and then, you know, through transduction becomes something else and then appears somewhere like in another machine. So it's like all of these connections. And I've been trying to chase down this short for the longest time where there's this cable that isn't quite getting the job done so that it can be taken out and killed and then hung in public as a lesson to the others so they behave. And so, but I think I finally identified the cord that is giving me all the trouble. So that's where I was looking askance. No,
Did one of the other cords finger it? Just the, you know, no, you know what I mean.
You were all about the euphemism today. The pulling out and the fingering and the grab ass.
Dear Lord.
All right, I'm not going to ask. So don't feel. Here's the thing. It's not even. I agree with you, but for different reasons. But don't ask, don't tell. I also agree that it's a political football that's not likely to be resolved. I think that's maybe somewhat to do with the fact that he's got, you know, like a cratering economy and wars in two different countries to deal with, and also nobody has health care, nobody can find a job, and whatever. But also, like, you know, at the risk of just ringing the same bell, like, he's, you know, he's just a guy who wanted to get into office, and so maybe he cares about that, maybe he doesn't, but that's sort of, but that's sort of irrelevant. As Hannibal Lecter would say, that is incidental to whether or not it actually gets done. There's just a whole bunch of people who don't like gay folk, and so they're going to dig in their heels and just do everything they can to continue to make life miserable for anybody who is gay. And that's just, he should just say that. He should just say, look, you know, like, it's hard to get something done when you got a bunch of bigots at every turn just sitting there trying to block your way. He's like, I'm doing the best I can, but we got a country full of Archie Bunkers, and it's like, and they're dicks, and they're difficult to deal with, and I'm making a go of it. But I mean, you know, I can only do what I can do.
I know that, what with coming in here and having to, like, peruse the actual news every day now and looking at all of the pain and suffering and heartache and, yes, and job loss and unemployment and everything that's going on. When I heard on the news, they were talking about this yesterday on NPR, and I hear about how, you know, these church groups and Republicans and such are still, like, beating on this don't ask, don't tell drum, like, yeah, digging in to make sure right. It stays in place. My first thought was, like, really? You yeah. guys still care about that? You guys, with all of the real problems we have, you're still like, oh, I don't want gay people in the army. Really?
Right.
Wow.
You know, I mean, everybody's eating macaroni helper and day-old bread, you know? But at least the gays aren't defending my country. So, I don't know. Maybe it'll get fixed at some point. Maybe it won't. But, I mean, this is why I've had these discussions with friends of mine who are sort of more politically shrewd and savvy than I am. And I always have said that it's not that, like, matters of specific policy aren't interesting or don't matter to me, but that's not the reason anybody votes. The so-called culture war issues and social issues and issues of alleged morality, those are the only reasons that anybody ever goes to the ballot. Nobody really goes to vote because they really, you know, because they have some strong opinion about line item veto or something. People go to the ballot because they either want gays to be able to get married or they want gays to never be able to get married. I mean, in a larger sense, that's sort of a microcosm of why people actually, that is the only thing that ever really gets the average person involved in the political process is a social issue. Because those are the things on which people have the most strident opinions and on which they just pick a position and just are intractable about it, like, forever.
Because the personal is political, Rick.
That's right, Dawn. So that's just why it's impossible to get anything done. Because you just got a bunch of guys in bed sheets who are, you know, just, I don't want queers defending my country. You know, rinse, wash, repeat. I mean, just like forever.
Well, so. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs says that lawmakers are not pleased about all this red tape.
Let's see. Hold on. Here we go.
There's a tremendous frustration on the part of many involved that...
It's funny if you think about it.
We hear all the time about the procedural hurdles that many Republicans want to throw into this process.
There was nothing there.
There's a tremendous frustration on the part of many involved.
That was a
thinking
that,
of a body limerick I heard yesterday.
We hear all the time about the procedural hurdles that many Republicans want to throw into this process.
I guess at this point, we are only hopeful that the regulators will give us some clarity about their expectations, and then we can plan on that basis.
Let's do that. Here's Dawn Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
Police in Southern Oregon said a woman charged with robbing a bank in Grants Pass stopped to pick up her children at school on the way home. The Grants Pass Daily Courier reported a woman walked into the Umpqua Bank branch shortly after 2 p.m. Monday, handed the teller a note demanding cash, and then rode off in a car driven by a man. Police said a witness description of the car and plates led to the home of 37-year-old Erica F. Anderson, who was arrested after returning from picking up her daughters at their elementary school. Anderson was charged with robbery and theft. Police also arrested 19-year-old Joshua K. Dieter. Oh, Joshua K. Dieter Sue on the same charges.
What kind of name is that? How is that spelled?
The last part, Sue, is T-S-E-U.
So that would be an Asian name, I believe.
I believe. But the first part of his name is Joshua K. Dieter with Sue tacked on the end. That was interesting. Washington state officials are worried that a passenger train that runs from Portland to Vancouver, Canada, might have to be canceled because the Canadian government wants the state to pay $550,000 a year for customs services. Canada's federal government said last week that it wants Washington's transportation department to pay for additional border staffing for the nighttime Amtrak Cascades train. State Secretary, Transportation Secretary Paula Hammond said that doesn't make sense because that second daily train has brought nearly $12 million in economic benefits to British Columbia in the year it's been operating. She also noted that U.S. Customs doesn't charge a fee for passengers on southbound trains.
It's impossible to overstate how little I care about this.
Okay.
It doesn't mean you have to. I'm sure that somebody somewhere cares about it. I'm not saying you have to quit reading. I'm just saying.
If you don't care, I don't care. And if I don't care, the listeners don't care.
That's right. Now you're viewing yourself as the journalistic gatekeeper that you are. I mean, that's just one of those stories that has so little impact on my life in the sense that, like, A, I barely understand what you were talking about in that. It was something about the Canadians want us to pay something, but it's like, you know what that story was? That story, it was one of those, like, Johnny's in a train that leaves Chicago at 5 p.m., but meanwhile, there's a border tax that he's got to pay when he passes, through the Cook County property line. And then meanwhile, in Washington, Susie is going to the top of the Space Needle, and you're just sitting in the back of the classroom, huffing Krylon paint, just trying to make the pain go away. You're listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget, this program is also available, A, at iTunes later on today, B, at PDX.FM, or at LegionofNews.com as a direct MP3 download, or C, on your mobile device. That is mobile.pdx.fm, mobile.pdx.fm. That is your BlackBerry, your Android device, your iPhone, your what have you, and so forth. Don't forget the Rick Emerson Show is coming up today at 1 o'clock at rickemerson.com. Today featuring the top five sleaziest songs ever to receive mainstream radio airplay. That's coming up the Rick Emerson Show later on today. Here's Don Taylor.
Has President Obama lost touch with America,
yes.
Rick Emerson?
No. What's correct? I don't know.
Well, some of his critics are saying he has.
Some people. Well, it's just all of his time is spent being a terrorist and a Muslim and a. What was the other thing? What was the thing that my mother-in-law sent the other day? That Barack Obama is.
Is he a communist?
No. See, that's passé. Nobody's.
No.
Here's the thing.
No, he's a socialist, which is the current way of saying communist.
Being a socialist is like being a really pussy communist, though. You know?
Yeah.
Being a socialist is like. You know what it is? Being a socialist is like being a hippie and a communist.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a yellow and blue make green kind of a thing. The hippie and communist equals socialism.
And you're basically a communist, but you don't get the cool uniforms.
You don't have the cool uniform. You don't have the cool artwork. You don't get to have purges. You don't get to liquidate dissidents. There's this whole. I shouldn't say this, but I don't think she listens. My mother-in-law. She's a forwarder. She's like a compulsive. Because it's like her and her equally opinionated Mormon friends. All they do is they just sit around. It's like they've got a callus on their finger from clicking the forward thing on their email just to barrage my wife with all of this. Did you know that Barack Obama was? But there's something else. There's some new thing that came out, and it wasn't he wasn't born here. It wasn't he's a socialist. Wasn't he's a terrorist? It wasn't.
Does he drink the blood of Christian babies?
Something like that. It was like he bathes in the blood of children, something, which is probably true. But what do I care? It looks a lot. As long as I get a job, as long as things are fine, in my backyard. That's what matters. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead. So we've got a cut about Obama here.
Yeah, his critics are saying that he's out of touch with America. The president even got an earful from some of his supporters during a town hall meeting on CNBC. Time magazine's Michael Crowley says expectations may have been too high.
Michael Crowley. I'm sorry. I had to do that. I had to do that. I'm sorry. So this is Michael Crowley.
Some people really began to feel like Obama.
Again with the some people.
Some people really began to feel like Obama almost had magical powers and that he was going to be able to wave a wand and make their lives better.
No one felt, look, for the record, no one felt that Obama, to my knowledge anyway, had actual magical powers.
I did. I thought he was like Morgan Freeman and he was going to show up and like teach me to golf.
I thought he was going to heal my prostate and bring a mouse back to life.
Crowley says many of them have been disappointed with the job Mr. Obama has done.
His supporters are feeling disillusioned. They're feeling like they were expecting more out of him. I think really expectations got too high in the campaign.
You mean we expected him to do all the things he said or intimated that he would do when he was elected?
Yeah, I think Obama's only superpower was to make the electorate uncommonly stupid, even for an election year. No. He promised these things. He's going to do them. No, he's a politician, and he said he would do it. So, ergo, he will do it.
That we actually thought when he said things like he would, repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, that he would actually do it. Well, that was a high bar, I admit, actually do the things he said he would do.
Let's see if I've actually got, hold on a second. Let's see if I've got this, if I've got this soundbite here. I have, I'll have to dig this up. I have the greatest little piece of Obama sound that I found the other day. Because that's what I do with my free time. While other people are, raising families and having lives and hobbies and whatever, I just sit and I look for additional sound on political stories.
And then apply the auto-tune to them.
Dude, have you seen the auto-tune of Oprah giving away the Australia trip to her audience?
No, I haven't.
It's like the most glorious thing. I'll dig it up. We'll play it, though. We'll play it next hour. It's from the guy who did they're snatching your people up, they're raping everybody thing. I'll find it. We'll play it later on. Here's Don Taylor.
Two women and four men have been indicted by a Jackson County grand jury after police linked them to a prostitution ring advertised on Craigslist. The Ashland Daily Tidings reported the men allegedly met the prostitutes at homes and motels, paying between $90 and $200 per visit. Ashland police told the newspaper that investigators believe 36-year-old Annette Marie Wilson ran the ring that involved the exchange of hundreds of dollars between 13 men and two prostitutes in June. Police also believe Wilson was involved in a fraudulent charity called the Haley Foundation and claimed to have an education and treatment facility for children with disabilities. Prosecutors said Wilson was indicted on one felony count of promoting prostitution and four misdemeanor counts of prostitution. The other five people indicted face misdemeanor charges.
Where was this at?
This was in Ashland.
Wouldst thou care for a lady of the evening? All right.
I'm in town. I'm going to be catching the new production of Midsummer Night's Dream, but I got a few hours to go. Hooker. I need to get myself a hooker.
See, if I were smarter, there would be some specific Shakespeare reference. There's probably a hooker in some Shakespeare thing. Is there a hooker character in one of those Shakespeare plays that he wrote?
I don't know.
It seems like every high school teacher I ever had was droning on and on and on, like Mr. Holland, about how, let me tell you about another story full of sex and violence, blah, blah, blah. And then the punchline was always some crap by Shakespeare that I didn't want to read anyway. So I just assumed. Let's see if I have the Obama cut. I think this is the thing I'm looking for. This is Obama, October 27th, 2007, when he was, what do you call it, running for president. Mm. Let's see if I can, let's see.
I will promise you this. That if
he's promising now, Don. Now listen, okay. He's promising something, therefore, it must happen.
And I believe he will.
I will promise you this: that if we have not gotten our troops out by the time I am president, it is the first thing I will do. I will get our troops home. We will bring an end to this war.
Well, there's a lot of nuance there. He's not being very specific. It's entirely possible that he left himself wiggle room. Let's hear one more time.
I will promise you this: that if we have not gotten our troops out by the time I am president, it is the first thing I will do. I will get our troops home. We will bring an end to this war. You can take that to the bank.
There you go, Don.
See, that's the problem. I didn't take it to the bank.
Yeah, no, that's.
I have yet to cash that check.
It's not a passive thing, Don. You have to, you have to
do my part.
Yeah, it's like you have to actively uncheck the spam. When you fill out the terms of service for a piece of software, you actually have to say, please don't send me anything.
Well, he didn't say gonna, and he didn't call us folks.
No.
So I don't know if I can believe him or not.
No. Maybe being president just makes you dumb. Maybe that's the thing. You become president, and suddenly you just start dropping. Like you forget how to pronounce the G's on the end of words. Mm. That's not a diphthong. What is that? The ing, is there a name for that?
Yes, there is. I don't remember what it is though, but yes, there is a name for that.
All right. I mean, it's a suffix of course, but I yes. But it, I wonder if the ing actually has its
it
own
makes
name.
It a present tense verb.
This is the sort of thing that nobody cares about.
No.
Which is a good opportunity to talk about Castalia Language Center in downtown Portland. Castalia Language Center is a small school here in Portland. They are specializing in teaching. What are you looking for?
I'm looking for
the run sheet?
Yeah.
Well, you can use mine for now.
No, I don't want yours for now. I want mine because I'm making notes on it.
Well, sorry. La-di-da.
See, I'll take yours, and then I'll scribble all over it, and then you won't have yours.
Then you can't have mine now. I was going to offer it. Now it doesn't matter
See,
how much
right
you wanted.
I found it.
You know, I'm just saying, even if you were to never find yours, I would no longer give you mine because I offered it to you, and you scorned it. Whatever.
Well, I wouldn't ask for it again because I already said I didn't want it.
Be done talking. You just keep scribble away in your own little special run sheet over there.
I will.
Castalia Language Center offers Spanish language classes to adults in classes of no more than 8 folks per class. That means you can get near individualized attention. Not actual individualized attention. I mean, unless you were like slip the teacher a fin or something. But I mean, it's 8 people. What do you want? 8 people maximum per class. And they also cater to adults, which means there's no kids, no teenagers, whatever. And that's good. Not just because teenagers are always in there with their rap music and their baggy pants, but also because... let's just be honest. Kids and teenagers just learn faster than ancient people like myself. And then it just shames all of us. So that way, you know, it resets the curve for you. Also, adults just learn differently, than younger folk do. So you can find out more about Castalia Language Center at portlandspanish.com. Here's what they don't do at Castalia Language Center. They don't just sit around and drone on about, like, a participle and a diphthong and a preposition and whether you can put it at the end of the sentence.
And what the ing means, what that's called.
And you're like, you know, what can this be put in past perfect tense? You know, nobody cares. Really, what you care about is like if you're, in some other city or in another country or, you know, some other part of, these United States and, you know, you're just trying to speak Spanish and you just can't get the job done. And so you're just sitting there just flailing away in conversation. You want to be able to actually use it in a conversation, actually use it to get things done. So if you are an adult, you had maybe a little bit of Spanish language teachifying when you were younger, but you want to brush up on it, or if you are maybe an advanced Spanish speaker, but you feel like you just got to, you know, you got to put a high shine and finish on that before you travel or something, you find out more about this by going to portlandspanish.com. portlandspanish.com. They have flexible hours, flexible days, so they can work with whatever your schedule might be. And again, they specialize in teaching Spanish to adults in classes of no more than 8 people. Find out more at portlandspanish.com. This is Don Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
Let's do science news.
Here's your science news for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Radio. I'm sorry, the Legion of News radio program.
Yes. A utility company preparing to build a new substation in an arid canyon southeast of Los Angeles has stumbled on a trove of animal fossils dating back 1.4 million years that researchers say will fill in blanks in Southern California's history. The well-preserved cache includes nearly 1,500 bone fragments, including a giant cat that was the ancestor of the saber-toothed tiger, ground sloths the size of a modern-day grizzly bear, 2 types of camels, and more than 1,200 bones from small rodents. Other finds include a new species of deer, horse, and possibly llama, researchers affiliated with the project said.
Was this all in one? Would you say it was in a cave or something?
A canyon.
Oh, okay. All right, that makes more sense.
All right.
Workers doing grading for the substation also uncovered signs of plant life that indicate birch, pine, sycamore, marsh reeds, and oak trees once grew in the area that is now dry and sparsely vegetated. The fossils representing 35 species have all been removed from the site and will be on display at the Western Science Center in nearby Hemet starting next year. So, new species of deer. Sloths the size of grizzly bears.
That's actually the thing that I stuck on in that story because... I mean, I don't know if it's actually true that sloths don't do anything, but that's sort of the way that it was always depicted to us in school, that they just sort of...
Well, they did give their name, you know, to the term slothful.
Yeah, but I mean, lemmings don't jump off cliffs either, so,
no.
You know. But it's the thing of, like, they're always just shown hanging from a tree and, like, doing nothing. So, but I like to think that that's the case, and that they were also, like, huge and could kill you if they wanted to, but they were just not inclined most of the time. Like, they really just wanted to sit around and just, you know...
I like the idea that...
Go through a jack-in-the-box drive-in.
That back in the past, everything was just enormous.
For
that,
no reason.
Yeah, that if we actually, you know, master time travel and decide to go back to prehistoric times, it'll be like Land of the Giants.
Totally. Where there'll be like a hamster, but huge! And it's like the size of a boxcar.
And its eyes are glowing red, and
Completely.
It just wants to kill you.
Totally.
The day when doctors need only visible light instead of x-rays to view a patient's insides can now be more easily imagined with the announcement of a way to read the small amount of light that passes through opaque materials. Normally, one cannot see through opaque barriers such as paint, skin, fabric, or eggshells because any light that does manage to make it through is scattered in complicated and seemingly random ways. Now, however, a physicist in Paris and fellow researchers say they've found they can actually reconstruct complex images from light passing through these barriers. The key is to know precisely how the barrier substances interfere with this light. Sylvain Guiron at the Industrial Physics and Chemistry Higher Educational Institution and his colleagues first shown a green laser beam at a layer of zinc oxide, a common ingredient in white paints, that was roughly 80 microns thick or slightly thinner than a human hair. By analyzing the pattern of light that passed through, the researchers generated a formula they called a transmission matrix that made sense of the seemingly random way the light was scattered by the barrier. With this knowledge, they were able to reconstruct a 32-pixel by 32-pixel image of a five-petal flower projected onto the zinc oxide.
That's fantastic. So that's like, that is not unlike in a piece of audio production software where you sample interference or noise or static, and then you can actually go and reconstruct the sound sort of around it. It's kind of like that, but it's the inverse of that. You're removing that, but you're leaving it in.
Yeah, it is similar to that.
Wow, that's actually pretty great. That is here's the thing about science. I know that you think that I'm an ignoramus, which is largely true. No, I'm just
audience thinks that. I don't.
Thank you. You're just helpful enough to pass along their thoughts. Please tell the jackass behind the microphone that. the chickens can fly, and also F him. Here's the thing is I'm just aware of my own paucity of knowledge in terms of science, which is why I'm always trying to learn stuff. It's just my brain is just like one of those computers from back in the 80s that didn't have like an external drive or something. So when you turn it off, it was all lost again, and you had to start typing it all over the next day. Mm-hmm. So I just, I try to learn stuff, and then it just falls out of my brain all over again.
I think I'm pretty smart, and then I start to realize that whole thing of, Like we have talked about with the Castalia Learning Center.
Yes.
That as you get older, it's just harder to pick up new knowledge and to make it make sense and to make it stick.
Yeah.
And like I've said before, I tried to read that, like, How to Teach Physics to Your Dog book, because I figured he's explaining quantum physics to a dog.
And I'm smarter than a dog.
And it was just like, after about three paragraphs, I was just like, ow, my head hurts.
I'm not smarter than a dog.
And there's a whole lot more of this book left, and I don't have room in my brain for this.
I just, especially putting the dog along, putting the book down and sort of shuffling along like...
it made me very sad.
Like George Michael Bluth.
I did. I returned it to the library after only reading like three chapters, and I felt like such a failure.
Here's Don Taylor with more science news.
On a level of science that's more appropriate for you and I, dog poop is lighting a lantern at a Cambridge, Massachusetts dog park as part of a month-long project that its creator, artist Matthew Mazzotta, hopes will get people thinking about not wasting waste. The Park Spark poop converter is actually two steel 500-gallon oil tanks painted a golden yellow, connected by a diagonal black piping, and attached to an old gaslight-style street lantern at the Pacific Street Park. After the dogs do their business, signs on the tanks instruct owners to use biodegradable bags supplied at the site to pick up the poop and deposit it into the left tank. People then turn a wheel to stir the insides, which contains waste and water. Microbes in the waste give off methane, an odorless gas that is fed through the tanks to the lamp and burned off. The park is small, but has proven busy enough to ensure a steady supply of fuel.
Now, where is this at?
This is in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Okay, that's actually pretty cool. I was all prepared to snark on that story, but that's actually pretty great. Now, here's a dumb question. Here's something I don't know. So does and it runs a torch or a...
It's an old gaslight style street lamp.
Okay, so it is like a gas flame that's
right.
Enclosed. So does that put out like a bad odor or something? Like the flame itself?
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, because it's being burned, and so therefore it's being, I don't know, whatever, flamified.
Yeah.
Whatever happens there.
Yeah, the gas is actually being burnt off.
That's pretty great. See, that's the sort of thing I could see Portland getting behind. And I don't mean that in a dopey way. I mean,
no.
I could see us doing that. And then other cities, that'd be one of those idiotic things that like some sub-Dave Barry columnist would make fun of. But then we could just put up a big sign with like, we have saved this much money this year by burning our dog poop, everybody can just suck that.
It was paid for by a $4,000 grant from the Council of the Arts at MIT, where Mazzotta earned a master's degree in visual studies last year. He got the idea after he visited the park with a friend in 2009. He had recently traveled to India and saw people there using so-called methane digesters to cook food. Whereas they do the same thing.
Right.
They collect waste and then use the methane.
That's a great idea. Yeah, so, we should totally do that. All right. They'd have one of those on every corner. And then I wouldn't have to just be, schlepping along bags of my dog's business.
You'd know that Max and Philo were doing their part to...
That's right. Doing their part for Mother Earth.
And to keep our streets safe.
Exactly. From terrorism.
Right.
Okay.
That's all the science.
There we go. There's your science news. You are listening to Legion of News right here at pdx.fm. Don't forget you can get this fine program on your mobile device as well. That's mobile.pdx.fm. Coming up at 1 o'clock, the Rick Emerson Show takes the airwaves over at rickemerson.com for the low, low price of only 32 cents a day. This glorious entertainment can continue into your ears for the next few hours. That is 1 o'clock or shortly thereafter at rickemerson.com. If you are a subscriber, that's what happens at 1. We're going to be talking to Ms. Kelly Clark from Willamette Week today. Also, we'll do today's top five. We have the top five sleaziest songs ever to receive mainstream radio airplay. Top five sleaziest songs ever to receive mainstream radio airplay. Also, Clown Watch, Taser Watch, and a Clergy Watch. Also, you know, I wrote something down yesterday. What is it that I said that I was going to play today? Was it Summertime Blues by Olivia Newton-John?
Yes, you were going to look for that.
That's because I was. It was that and that weird incesty song that Christy and Jimmy McNichol recorded back in the 70s, which I have on vinyl, by the way.
Of course you do.
It's fantastic. And it's a legitimately great song, but it's like one of those creepy, like, afternoon delight, maybe Funke, you know, Michael Bluth kind of things.
Like when Bart and Lisa were singing karaoke in that one episode, and I can't remember what the song was, but they realized like halfway through. Well, that was like, they did the same.
Was it Afternoon Delight as well? Or
it wasn't Afternoon Delight. I can't remember what it was.
Anyway, so we got all that coming up today. If you are not a subscriber to the Rick Emerson Radio Program, and if you are feeling that is beyond your financial means at the moment, or if you know somebody who is not currently blessed with the good sense to become a subscriber, it doesn't really matter because you can, it does matter, but we can mitigate that by putting you into the big pile of folks who will be qualified for a shot at the Emerson Grant. The Emerson Grant, done in partnership with our friends at New Millennium Maintenance and Landscaping, about whom you can find out more at rickemerson.com. They are providing the Emerson Grant. That is 10 one-month subscriptions that we are giving away every single month. So as we get closer to the end of the month, we're going to be giving away the remainder. We've already given away a couple of those to people who have bribed us sufficiently, and we're not above that. So you can email your bribes if you like to rick@rickemerson.com, rick@rickemerson.com, or Dawn, D-A-W-N, @rickemerson.com.
So let me get this straight. Somebody who's listening to this show right now, Legion of News,
yes,
they could get a just absolutely free subscription for 1 month.
It doesn't even seem possible, does it?
To Rick Emerson.
It doesn't even seem, I mean, it seems just beyond.
And they don't really
imagining.
Have to do much of anything, really. They just have to write us a clever email telling us why they should have it.
That, or if, in fact, you find yourself too lazy to type a whole lot of, what are they called, words, you can actually just call this number, 503-505-6964. Leave us a voicemail of no more than 2 minutes explaining why you or somebody you know needs one of those one-month subscriptions. We give 10 of those away every month, a one-month subscription to the Rick Emerson Show, courtesy of New Millennium Landscape and Maintenance. Find out more at rickemerson.com. Here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
A Delaware County man looking for help with his new iPhone ended up being arrested instead. Police say Michael Natale, 43, of Collingdale, Pennsylvania, is charged with 7 counts of possession of child pornography.
Oh,
yeah. Investigators say they were alerted by a worker at a cell phone store in the Christiana Mall in Newark, Delaware, on August 11th. Officers learned Natale bought a new iPhone and wanted the content transferred to it from his BlackBerry. While an employee was working on that request, he told police he saw what appeared to be child pornography. The employee took pictures with his own cell phone for evidence and gave both the iPhone and BlackBerry back to Natale. Police were notified, and on Thursday, police served a search warrant on Natale's home in Collingdale. Investigators say Natale admitted to having the images on his phones. Natale was arrested and sent to George Hill Correctional Facility after failing to post 10% of his $100,000 bail.
He's now being beaten on a daily basis. Does he look exactly like the... Oh, wow.
He looks like a big, beefy perv is what he looks like.
He looks like one of those... He looked like somebody for a moment and then I lost it. It was gone. But he looks like an enforcer. He looks like the guy who comes to lean on you when you don't pay the VIG. You know? He's what they used to call a hired goon in like Elmore Leonard novels. Jesus.
But
I don't want to be molested by this guy. I mean, really, not by most people, but by this guy. I mean, really, if you had to pick the list of people who were going to violate you, he'd be near the bottom.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I just again, I realize that people who are criminals of various stripes are not usually terribly intelligent.
But even this, I mean,
Could you transfer my kiddie porn from my BlackBerry to my iPhone for me? Guy who works at the AT&T store.
That's the thing. It's like even even this this layer of the cultural strata, you know, even your average criminal, you figure they've got to have some tiny section of their brain that actually is responsible for not getting caught by the man, right?
And yet
we find out on a daily basis that's fortunately enough, I suppose. It's like we had some guy that was 2 weeks ago that was the guy that was, he broke out of jail to do something or other, but then he broke back into jail.
Yeah, the two guys, they broke out of jail to go buy drugs and then tried to break back into jail.
Their whole plan was like they were going to duck out of jail and then get back in, like, before anybody noticed they were gone.
Right.
But then on the way back into jail, as a, quote, diversionary tactic, they set fire to a car outside the jail. But, of course, a diversionary tactic, by definition, is a thing that's supposed to draw attention.
Yeah.
So then the cop said, hey, who's there lighting that car on fire? And so now they got, like, 40 years out of their sentence. So I suppose we should be grateful. It's nature's way of making sure that people like this don't take over. All right.
A fight between neighbors escalated into an attack on deputies and a shooting late Tuesday night in Alloa, investigators said. A deputy fired his handgun in self-defense and wounded one man, according to Sergeant David Thompson with the Washington County Sheriff's Office. It started after 9 p.m. when two deputies were called to the scene of a fight between neighbors. Area resident Dale Fortune, 62, was accused of kicking a neighbor's car. Then, when deputies went outside one of the homes to arrest Fortune, they said he resisted and was joined by at least two other people. One of the deputies was physically attacked by 49-year-old Leonard Salarito. The deputy fired at Mr. Salarito and struck him in the torso. Eventually, with the assistance of other responding deputies, four people were detained. Salarito was transported to a local hospital for treatment. No details were released about his condition. The shooting occurred on Southwest Stark in Alloa. Two of the three others that were detained and eventually arrested, Dale Fortune was arrested for criminal mischief, resisting arrest, and attempted assault on a public safety officer. 58-year-old Sue Ann Fortune was arrested for interfering with a police officer and resisting arrest.
Mother or girlfriend?
Well, I don't know. She's 58. He's 62.
Oh, okay.
Probably
so that's,
wife.
Okay. I didn't hear that he was 58. So the criminal mischief is sort of an interesting charge because it's like you're fun loving, but a little too much.
It sounds playful.
Yeah. But like, you know, it's like, we know you're just having a good time here, friend, but it's your mischievous ways have gone a little bit too far. You've gone beyond the pale.
Entertainment news, shall we?
Let's. This is your entertainment news right here at Legion of News. Here's Don Taylor. Bum, bum.
Lindsay Lohan must face a Beverly Hills judge again after failing at least one drug test while on probation. While stuck in the national spotlight, the actress has caught the attention of an East Texas college. Lohan was spotted wearing an East Texas State University t-shirt. Alumni of the school, which is now called Texas A&M Commerce, are asking for their shirt back. It's a reputation of the East Texas State University Alumni Association that they do not want to claim. We are so sorry she's having a hard time, but if you were a parent and looking across the web for schools and you saw that Lindsay Lohan had a t-shirt from the school you were thinking of sending your child to, I think you would back out or think of another school.
That's a fair point. It doesn't necessarily ring as a positive endorsement.
No. That was Larry Goddard with the Alumni Board of Directors. When she was in the Disney films and doing all of that, we would probably endorse that and send her more shirts, said Goddard. But Goddard says her visits to rehab and recent stay in jail are not a good reflection on his alma mater. A Facebook page has even been created to encourage the star to return their shirt. The sister of Precious director Lee Daniels has been charged with removing guns and cash from her California house following her husband's arrest on drug smuggling charges. Leah Daniels Butler, a casting associate who helped discover Precious star Gaborni Sidibe. How do you pronounce her last name? Gaborni Sidibe.
I tried to avoid everything about that movie.
Yeah.
I tried to just every day. That was one of those things where it's like when pop-up windows appear on your computer and you try to close them as fast as you can. That was my thing with that movie. Every time it would like appear anywhere in my consciousness, I just tried to scrub it away.
This casting director woman.
So somebody who's related to the guy who made Precious.
Precious, right. And now she has to wear an ankle monitoring bracelet. So there you go. He was king of the beach on Baywatch, Rick Emerson, but David Hasselhoff didn't fare so well on Dancing with the Stars. The 58-year-old entertainer was dramatically voted off the show following yesterday's season premiere, becoming the first of the 12 celebrities to be given the boot. Hasselhoff and his professional partner, Kim Johnson, were ousted from the TV celebrity dance competition after performing just one dance. It's been a great ride, Hasselhoff said of his one dance.
Uh-huh.
I feel bad for Kim because she worked hard trying to get me where I was going. I'm so proud that my daughters are here and they got to see me come this far.
They didn't have to actually, like, pick you up off the floor and help feed you your hamburger this time. Jackass.
Yay, Dad's dancing.
All right, this is much better than when he's vomiting on us. I'm making a note to myself about a glib observation to make next hour.
Oh, about David Hasselhoff and
yes.
dancing?
Yes.
Nice. Just let me know when you're done.
I'm done.
Okay. It's been over 40 years since the late Jack Lord landed the role of Detective Steve McGarrett on Hawaii Five-0.
Is that true? I was my bad, Jack Lord. Oh. I'm sorry. That was a little too breathy, though.
And whether Alex O'Loughlin, who I believe was last seen as a vampire detective, wasn't he? Wasn't he the guy on Moonlight?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Anyway.
Really? Are you asking me about somebody who was on Moonlight? No.
I only know about Moonlight because when we used to go see Lost at the Baghdad, they would have...
Get the last 5 minutes of Moonlight
beforehand. No, they would actually, the whole... If you got there early, you had to sit through the whole hour of Moonlight that came before Lost, and it was... Or Battlestar Galactica. It might have been Battlestar Galactica.
It's like
it was horrible.
Asking me about one of the stars of Brimstone.
Anyway, whether he does the part justice will be determined this week as audiences are offered a new version of Hawaii 5-0.
Which they will almost assuredly reject.
Entourage's Scott Kahn, the son of James Kahn.
And I forget what who he was in Entourage. He wasn't playing himself, was he? Or was he?
I've never really watched Entourage.
Really?
So I don't know.
Unlike most people, I watched the first, I think, four seasons, and then I just, like, pulled the ripcord, and then I caught it, like, accidentally every now and again. And I'm trying to remember what else has he been in?
He's been in a couple of movies. Yeah.
He's one of those, like, Casey Affleck, you know, Jay Moore kind of guys. They all sort of seem like they're kind of cut from the same cloth, and they drift together a little bit in my consciousness.
Well, he's playing McGarrett's right-hand man, urbanite and beach-hating Detective Danny Williams. Grace Park, who was on Battlestar Galactica, and Lost's Daniel Day-Kim round out the ensemble, but it's up to McLaughlin, or O'Loughlin, who failed to catch fire with the short-lived TV series Moonlight,
uh-huh.
and Three Rivers to carry the show. The actor gave his take on Hawaii Five-0.
How do you feel about Hawaii Five-0, Don Taylor?
It was on the other night. It premiered, and my husband decided he was going to watch it, and I was doing some other things elsewhere in the apartment and really didn't give a damn. But I was pleased to see that they kept the original theme music.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, that was a given. I mean,
not a given.
No, that was totally a given.
With
There's
TV.
No, I could have told you that. But it was going to be like the original theme music as done by, like, Chameleonaire.
Yeah. But now it's the original theme music. But I just didn't really care. And it started with a bunch of guys, like, in the army blowing up stuff. And they were, like, in Afghanistan or something. I looked at the TV and I went, this isn't Hawaii. And then I walked out of the room. And that's all I saw. That's all I know.
Well, I remember the old show from when I was a kid. I mean, you gotta remember the old show was...
Because I'm 50.
...taken off TV 40 years ago. You know, it started over 50 years ago, and there's been a lot of changes.
So how does he remember it when he was a kid?
He's gone through three accents already in this clip, too.
I forgot he's a vampire. He's like 300 years old, so of course he remembers it.
Well,
I've spent decades watching your program. I am your biggest fan. Will you please sign my memory book?
Well, I remember the old show from when I was a kid. I mean, you gotta remember the old show was taken off TV 40 years ago. You know, it started over 50 years ago, and there's been a lot of changes in television, in the way we act, you know, stylistically, with technology, with what we can do with the money
technology.
That we have,
with technology,
and science, and here in the world of tomorrow.
So it is a... It's not a remake. We're not kind of picking up where they left off. It's a reboot.
Don't know!
It's a reimagining, Greg.
In the old show, you didn't know much about the character that Jack Lord played, whereas in the pilot of our new show, you learn a lot about my Steve McGarrett. And, I didn't look to that. I didn't look to that for to make decisions. I just did my character work based on the script.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. So there's that. All right. Well, I'm glad that Patrick at least watched it, and that you sort of saw enough of it to be able to render some sort of snap judgment, because I just entirely... Here's the thing about this. This is kind of like we were talking about earlier about how I have temporary knowledge in my head. I knew that this reboot was coming, and then I think just the other day we talked about it. I think we talked about it actually Monday morning. And then once the actual... once the actual night of the show came, was it Monday or was it Tuesday?
It was Monday, I believe.
Okay, so that actual night, I guess, then I just totally forgot about it again. But, you know, let's be honest, it's not going to be on in a year and a half. I mean, in 2 years from now, tops, it'll be gone.
Well, you say that, but you don't know. It might turn out to be one of those things that the audience just embraces loves.
But is that true? Like, have any of the contemporary remakes of, like, the iconic 60s cop shows really worked? Or any of those things, like Mod Squad? No. Shaft? No. I mean, that's 70s.
No.
But I'm trying to think what else they've done. I mean, they tried to do Dragnet in the 80s. That didn't work. Because after the Tom Hanks thing, they were talking about doing that as another... Wasn't it Dick Wolf or somebody said he was going to bring back Dragnet as like a modern...
Oh, that's right.
So they've tried twice now in the last 15, 20 years to bring back Dragnet. I think things from the 60s... They don't update well for some reason. I think you can... I don't know what that's all about. I think it's like the 60s is just... There's something about that. They don't transition appropriately. You are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. The Rick Emerson Show coming up at 1 o'clock today. And on the Rick Emerson Show, we'll have the top five sleaziest songs ever to receive mainstream radio airplay. Top five sleaziest songs ever to receive mainstream radio airplay. Also, Clown Watch, Taser Watch, Clergy Watch, and Kelly Clark from Willamette Week. Legion of News right here on PDX.FM is brought to you by fine folks such as Michael Beatty, proprietor of The Cleaning Solution. And so whether you're talking about your office, your home, residential, or business, whether it is the carpet tile, upholstery, walkway, entryway, foyer, hardwood, whatever it is, anything in your house that you find just gets sort of grimy over the course of, you know, a week, 2 weeks, 3 months, a year, whatever, you look down, and it's like your carpet used to be one color, now it's gone all wonky. You can come to your house, you can clean it, make sure that it looks as good as the day you got the house, and if you just got some, the tile put in the entrance of your home, you know, my friends Dave and Sarah, they just did this whole thing where they just spent like months just taking out the tile that's in their entryway and putting down new tile. And then she's already doing that thing where she goes through obsessively with like a toothpick and cleans between the tiles like a freak just to make sure that it stays clean, which I understand. But it's like you really got better things to do with your life, I would hope. Than to clean your tile with, like, a toothpick. So, you know, let somebody else do that.
Some people don't. Maybe she enjoys it.
Maybe it relaxes her.
It's like a meditative thing.
Perhaps. If you find that you don't enjoy that, if you would rather have somebody else do that, this is America. You can have somebody else do that, whatever it is. 971-533-3211. That's how you contact Michael Beatty at The Cleaning Solution. 971-533-3211. Please tell me you heard it here on Legion of News, right here on PDX.FM. Here's Don Taylor.
The fourth season of Chuck has also begun. It premieres this week on NBC. Has super geek Chuck and his pal Morgan searching for Chuck's mother, played by Linda Hamilton. The episode also features guest appearances from Harry Dean Stanton as a repo man. And the Expendables' Dolph Lundgren. I don't think we need to actually call him The Expendables' Dolph Lundgren. He's
no.
Dolph Lundgren.
His agent probably prefers that you call him The Expendables' Dolph Lundgren, at least for the next 6 to 8 months.
Zachary Levi and Joshua Gomez break down the episode.
On a scale of 1 to 3, how much do you want to hear this soundbite?
1.
Well, you find us...
What is it with people doing these weird laughs in the middle of sound bites today? First of all, we've got, what's his name? Goddamn Robert Gibbs.
It's frustrating.
Talking. Let's see if I. Where the hell did that even go?
There's a tremendous frustration on the part of many involved.
Well, you find us.
I'm going to start creating a montage of all these things.
You find us in a factory. In a power plant.
Quite large factory.
In Russia.
We're stoned.
There's a lot that's happened.
We got really baked before this junket.
But the Bymore's been rebuilt.
Oh, the Bymore's been rebuilt.
We actually haven't even shot the majority of this.
I don't even know where I am right now.
It'll be interesting to get into.
My hands are huge.
Set and see what that all looks like.
Is this real? Am I always going to be like this?
Acting. All right. Here's Don Taylor.
Well, if you're wanting to watch the new stuff on the TV tonight, season 2 premiere of The Middle, which is, a delightful little series. It's not one of those sitcoms that I personally seek out, but it's very funny.
It's a charming little show.
It is. Also, the premiere of J.J. Abrams' new series, Undercovers, which is, I think, kind of a Mr. and Mrs. Smith night and day kind of a thing. Married former spies Stephen and Samantha Bloom re-enter the world of espionage to track down a friend and fellow agent who disappeared while on the trail of an arms dealer.
So the key, as with any J.J. Abrams series, is to watch, like, the first couple years now before it begins to suck. Watch, like, the first two, three seasons before it just turns a hairpin corner into Sucktown.
Also tonight on one of the Disney cable channels, there's so many of them. This is Disney XD, which I don't even know what that means.
It's Disney Extreme Domination. Oh, probably not the domination part.
Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, is about the origins of Iron Man.
You know, I think it's time for a Captain Planet revival. That's really what we need right now. Captain Planet and the Planeteers need to come on back.
The sixth season opener of Criminal Minds, which I enjoy greatly because, you know, I love me some serial killers. This concludes the team's search for a serial killer who's terrorizing Los Angeles and has Detective Spicer's daughter as his hostage. And also have the second season premiere of Modern Family tonight on ABC. So
excellent. You're a Modern Family fan, are you not?
I am indeed.
All right. You know, the other day, you know, I got to dig up this. We never got to this. We had a Lauren Graham soundbite, speaking of families, that from a few days back that I'm going to repurpose. I'm going to find a reason to bring it back because I just like to hear Lauren Graham speak.
Now, did I read just very recently that she's dating Peter Krause?
Yes, she is.
Now, isn't that has got to be weird if you're an actor to be, like, stupping someone who is playing your sibling
totally
every day on TV.
See, also Dexter.
Yes.
They're married.
They're married.
I mean, that's the, you know, which is sort of hot.
But that's just odd.
It's totally weird. I always wonder if the opposite ever happens. Like, if they ever, like, cast something and then they look down at the page and realize they've cast, like, Joan and John Cusack as lovers and they go, ah, crap. And they were both so good in their roles. What are we going to do? Hey, how much do you guys really like to act? How much do you want this gig? Yeah, but so the Dexter thing, so they got married, last year, but they've been dating. And I know that I wasn't quite sure whether I believed this or not. There was this story that the producers tried to keep word that they were dating from leaking out because they thought it would weird people out when they watched the show. And I'm unclear whether that's true or not because it seems like half the audience is going to be weirded out and half the audience will be turned on by that in some bizarre way.
If you're watching Dexter anyway, I think you've got a fairly high tolerance for being weirded out.
No, that's true. So that is really strange. But then I saw the thing about Lauren Graham and Peter Krause, who, you know, good for him. Good for her, too, I suppose. Yeah. So I'm a big fan of both of those guys.
I am, too. And they seem appropriately matched.
They really do.
They're both on, like, the same sort of rung, I think, as far as talent and intelligence and attractiveness.
And they both, and here's the thing, they both handle that material really well because they both spent a long time, or some amount of time anyway, on television shows that had just like the insanely fast-paced, rapid-fire dialogue.
Yeah.
Gilmore Girls and then Peter Krause, 6 Feet Under, but Sports Night before that. And so they both, you know, they've got the same kind of acting chops, I think. So anyway, also, she's like the hottest thing that's ever been on television. So there's also that. All right, are we at the end of our entertainment news?
I believe we are.
Oh, there you go. Here's Don Taylor. Let's do like one more here and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay.
The Rick Emerson Show comes up next, by the way, at rickemerson.com. Today, Clown Watch. Taser. There's to be no porn in today's Clown Watch. We had a lot of... Yesterday was like all... It was like 49 minutes of porn conversation.
Right.
High-minded, though, it was. And, I mean, done in a sort of a... You know, done in a way that was, I think, appropriately intellectualized.
But it was just a lot of talk
butt
about
talk and porn.
So
Clown Watch coming up today, Taser Watch, Clergy Watch with sound, Kelly Clark from Willamette Week, and we'll do the top five sleaziest songs ever to receive mainstream radio airplay. That's coming up later on today.
The BBC reported that the party was canceled after a schoolgirl was swamped with RSVPs from unwanted guests on Facebook. The girl had reportedly invited only 15,000 friends, or 15 friends, but ended up accidentally inviting 21,000 people.
Wah, wah.
Sergeant Lewis Duckett said, "We're aware of this and have been assured the event is no longer taking place. I urge people planning to go to Harpenden for the party to make other plans. We'll have officers on patrol in the area on October 7th to deal with issues that arise." Though the invitation was removed from the site, a new version was visible to all Facebook users on Monday. The new event was not created by the girl herself, but her address was again posted on the site, and 19 people confirmed their attendance. The incident follows criticism of Facebook's complicated privacy settings.
Seriously, I think we just call that being Zuckerberged at this point. That's a bit of a... It's a little unwieldy, but we have to... can I just... Ah, never mind. I don't have time. No, I was just... I was going to get into a whole thing about the Facebook movie that's coming out. So, but, you know, I don't... we have to... Instead of doing that, we have to... There we go. All right. Let's bring the curtain down on another episode of Legion of News right here at PDX.fm. Legion of News does come to you each and every weekday from noon until 1 p.m. right here from the ENN studios, the Emerson News Network, located high above the Milkpacking District in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon, and is broadcast via PDX.fm. Don Taylor is at the news desk. Advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa. My name is Rick Emerson. The Rick Emerson Show begins next at rickemerson.com. Thank you for joining us. We will see you again tomorrow at noon for another exciting installment of
Legion of News
on PDX.fm.